This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Dollface. How are you?
I'm here. I'm here.
Hi, Nick. How
Hi.
are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Sweetie, I have been waiting to talk to you about this episode for
Listen.
days now.
Listen.
Okay, sis.
Ooh, girl, the
Listen, Masandry said Jakars, and I said, that's your permission. Burn
And that's
that shit
what
down.
we did. Yes. So the
So
only
before.
thing is I have this little basketball game, but it starts at 9.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so is your beloved Golden State playing tonight?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. I will be respectful of that.
Thank you.
And
2 hours.
I mean, we've given ourselves ample time to really go through this because let me tell you something. I have commentary. I have all the commentary. So let's just get right into it. Please introduce yourself to the audience so that they know who you are.
I am Nick Jew from the What's a Tea podcast.
Hey, boo, hey.
Hi.
So, thank you so much for joining me, Nick. This is episode 5 of the Game of Thrones, the Love of Thrones recap on the official Cook and Gooch podcast show. Honey, we are here to discuss the penultimate episode, The
Yeah.
Bells,
Yeah.
sis. Fuck them
Yeah.
bells, my nigga. Fuck them bells. Let me tell
Listen,
you.
at the end of the last episode, homegirl said Dracarys, I tweeted her translation, which was burn this motherfucker and everybody in it to the ground.
Let me tell you
Period.
something. Let me tell you something. When Missandei said that, I was like, that is really her saying, avenge me, bitch. Avenge me. And I honestly, I'm confused by everyone's reaction to Daenerys. Bruh, she's been threatening to fuck shit up since she got here and got them goddamn dragons, okay? It's about time she really put in work with her dragon, okay? Because when she do, she put. Let me tell you something. Okay, so bottom line. Let's take it from the top. There was a lot going on
A
from the top.
lot.
A lot. So we see Lord Varys kind of ruminating, rooming around, like running around and stuff. And it's kind of dawned on me at some point, like over the weekend before Sunday, that Daenerys was set up when they were flying, when she was flying into what was that? King's Landing.
And
And they
Dragonstone
were,
or whatever, wherever they were,
yeah,
Dragonstone.
Dragonstone. And they were, and Euron knew to attack, and he had time to set up the scorpion spear and get Rhaegal up out the sky. And it did dawn on me, like, how the fuck did they know she was coming?
Right, somebody dropped a dime.
Niggas dropping dimes and shit. My nigga dropping birds, honey. So, oh my goodness. So we know she pieced it all together. Okay, so when she was like, "Yes, I've been betrayed," and she was talking to Tyrion, and he was like, "Yeah, it was Lord Varys," and she was like, "Well," at first, she before he said it was Lord Varys, she was like, "That fucking Jon Snow, that bitch told on me, that motherfucker. I told that hoe not to tell my business, and
Right.
he fucking did." And I'm like, "Danny, calm down. See, it wasn't even Jon; it was Lord Varys." But she was like, "No, but he got the information from Jon." No, he got the information from you, Tyrion, because you got it from Sansa, who got it from Jon, which again, my original point, like I told you, little ass, that it was Jon and shit fucking up. I was like,
Right.
oh my God,
And Varys was in that room trying to get off a group me.
oh my God. Them chat notes.
Right. I want to know who actually got the raven and what did it say?
Well, it looked like he was explaining that the real name of Jon Snow is Rhaegar Targaryen. He's an official
Right.
Targaryen, and his identity was held secret by Neddard Stark. So
That's all I saw.
that's what I could catch. And then when I rewatched it, he was just saying like Jon Snow is the rightful heir, yada yada yada. So who he was sending it to, I don't know.
But he had about 6-7 copies.
He did. And he had to do all that shit by hand too. That's wild.
Right? He couldn't did a photocopy, like print the ink while it was wet, put another
Like, and then the nigga gonna do it all in like calligraphy and shit.
Right. Right.
It's just extra. So extra. So
tried to get the little girl to poison Danny, which I thought at the other episode, I was like, oh, he gonna poison her.
Now that was a clean method. I mean, because honestly, I thought Varys was in cahoots with Cersei, but we know that's not what he was doing. Right. He was just like, we can get rid of her and get rid of Cersei, but you know, we just install Jon. And I'm really trying to understand why everybody thinks Jon would be such a better ruler other than he's a man.
That's it.
Because Jon don't make good decisions.
But like, he's so reluctant. I have never seen a more reluctant king. He don't want to be they brother. He don't want to be a wildling. He didn't want to take the black. Like, he don't want to do nothing.
This nigga want to just figure himself out. He needs a gap year. Jon needs a gap year.
He want to die again so bad.
Listen. Like, yeah, I need more of that death back there.
Right.
I mean, Jon, he said it repeatedly, like, I don't want it. I don't want it. And I'm just like, Jon, and I honestly, that's where I'm at with Jon. Like, nigga, what the fuck do you want? And
right, because you're useless.
Like, you just stayed in the world. Like, you pledged your sword to her. He got demoted. He took a demotion to fuck with a bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I believe he did do all that because he did love her at the time. So we see her just looking in her room, a hot mess. Like, she looked like motherfucking Bernadette when that man left her for that white woman, honey, just sitting in there.
She was his lover and his secateur.
Okay, like, she looked like, if Newports were around, she'd have, like, smoked down, like, to the nub. Like,
a Virginia Slim.
At least 12 in her ashtray, just butt smoked all the way down to the end. And she's talking to Grey Worm. And I have to say, I feel Grey Worm. That nigga was activated. That was an activated motherfucker. This child, we gonna get to that. But he's talking to him and he's like, you know, this is the only thing that she brought with her when she crossed the narrow seas. And what did you think when she gave it to him, because she was like, you know, you can have it. And he threw it in the fire. What did you make of that moment?
I would have done the same thing. Like, this her slave collar, sis. I don't want this.
Okay. I felt that it was a little bit more to it as well, meaning he is going to forget her because he's never going to love again. And it was just like, burn it, you know, like, let's forget her, because when we go out here tomorrow, we fucking it up.
Because didn't he tell her? Was it him? He told her that loving someone is a liability to a warrior.
Yeah, I think. Probably could have been something he.
But right then he was like, "Now I have something to fight for," and then they scissored.
Right. But I was getting ready to say right before they tribbed. Tribbed. Yeah. I feel it. I totally feel it.
And, like, use your mouth.
I mean, he still got a booty hole.
The finger.
I mean, like I said, they need to get Gendry to make them, you know, make her a strap or some shit. I don't know, girl. Listen, they work it out. They hunching or whatever. So then here comes Jon. And she's all like, you know, I asked you, I begged you not to do this. And she was like, you know, you're more loved in all of Westeros than I will ever be. And she said something and it was so poignant. She was like, I don't have love here, only fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Jon was like, but I love you and you will always be my queen. But she was like, then of course she tried to throw that cooch at him again, that auntie cooch, and it's like, sis,
she really did. And he hasn't addressed that with her directly, but I feel like every time they tried to get it on, in his mind he's like, but you're my aunt, and in her mind she's like, but you want my throne.
Listen, she could get past You know, she really is like, she's off the, we ain't grew up together. I don't know you. You wasn't sitting across
we
from me.
We did not grow up together. It doesn't count. I can't have kids. Like, I don't understand the problem.
I mean, like, we already did it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know your daddy.
You don't know mine.
Right. Like, I don't understand the problem.
Did I get into that? I think John went through all of that trouble of being a virgin and fucking a wildling just to fuck his aunt. And it's like, bruh, bruh. He went through all of that, years of beating his meat. Poor little Ting Ting. Just to fuck his aunt.
Regularly.
Enthusiastically. So once they tried to kiss and she realizes that it's not going, that's when she says, then fear it is, meaning you love me, Jon Snow, but you are not in love with me.
So now you're afraid of me. Like, yes. Everyone, like Lady Olenna told her ass.
Be a fucking dragon, sis.
Or somebody, Lady Olenna told somebody, look, better fear, better rule by fear. I just, the whole, I don't, you know, whatever, people can be mad if they want to be mad, but there's been a scene with her in nearly every season where somebody rational has had to be like, okay, little girl, you can't just, you know, burn it down. Like, and I think the difference is, you know, Grey Worm has always been her military advisor, but right now he's like her only advisor. She can't trust anybody but him. And they're aligned right now because she wants to avenge Missandei. He wants to avenge Missandei. So she's like, okay, cool. This is the only person I'm really trying to listen to right now. But before this, she had Missandei. She had Jorah. Nobody is around to calm her like anger sensibilities right now. Nobody.
And I think with the lessons that she's learning, I mean, if you look at who her adversaries are between Cersei,
The Night King,
right. And then, of course, you know, let's not forget, they were trying to kill her when she was married to the Call.
Right.
So this is all she knows, is her life is literally, all her life has been on the run. People have been trying to kill her and murder her. You know what I'm saying? And she now is coming to a point, like, this is what she's fought for. I will avenge my family. I will avenge my father. I will take back the Iron Throne. And she said repeatedly, she will do it by fire and blood.
Right. And I'm not the biggest fan of hers, but sis did eat a heart.
Listen, she ate a whole ass heart to prove her love. And she really's been about it. Like, y'all, she was Khaleesi. She's been about this shit. She's been about this life. She's been said that this is how it's going to rock. And let's keep it 100. They left her no choice. You leave me no choice.
Right. She crucified a whole city.
Yeah. And you know what? Remember when the Dothraki captured her and she had to burn all their asses up?
Right. I'm saying.
You know, like we've been through this before. And Daenerys, that's how she, whenever she, her back is up against the wall, flame on, ho.
Right. That's her jam.
It's her jam. And so I was proud of her. I was proud that she was using Drogon strategically and she maneuvered with him. Before we get to that, though. Oh, shit. Oops.
I thought that was me.
Girl, no, it's me. Oh, my God. So before we get into all that, Tyrion is going through like an existential crisis as a Lannister up to this point, because his sister's fucking crazy. Jaime left Winterfell to come back to King's Landing specifically for this broad. And that is when he's talking to Daenerys and she's like, yeah, by the way, we've got your brother. And I felt like she told him that, I think that was his final test.
Yeah, because she knew that his allegiance to his family was always going to be number one. And I don't know that she knew the relationship that he had with Jaime, but knowing that he didn't super care for his sister and he's already given her 11 chances, I'm sure she could suspect that he would try to be generous with his brother.
Which he did. And how touching was it that when it all came out, Tyrion is just a baby brother trying to protect his only friend. He tolerated that family for Jaime.
Right. And Jamie saved him from getting killed by his daddy. I mean, she had to know. She's not dumb. She had to know that giving him that information was going to be him trying to betray her one good time.
Right. And it didn't even matter that they sent Bron to kill them.
Right.
You know, they didn't care. And I'm interested to see how that plays out with Bron too.
I love Tyrion. He's been one of my favorite characters. And for a minute, I thought we were
fucking up.
Yeah, I thought we were gonna get I Drink Wine and I Know Things Tyrion back, but thinking about what he's been through and what he's seen and this, that, and the third, I think that he probably is as afraid of Daenerys as everybody else. But if he gonna give Cersei chance after chance after chance, certainly he's willing to give Daenerys a chance or two.
And that's how I see it. I feel like he is at a crossroads himself. Yes. Because when we really look at why he aligned himself with Daenerys, it was out of self-preservation mostly.
Right.
He had nowhere to go.
Right.
And I believe that deep down he did believe in her. He believed that as the last of the Targaryens that she could, you know, rule. Right. And she had a legitimate claim to the throne and that, you know, she wouldn't be a tyrant. And I think everyone's all, you know, like anti-tyranny, but I think Daenerys is learning, like, you know, power is power. She does not have the allegiances that she's needed to rule, you know, strategically. So like she said, she's going to rule by fear, meaning she's going to fuck them up and she's going to fuck it up so goddamn bad that anybody would think twice before they step to her.
It's not like Seven Kingdoms has been ruled by somebody noble and honorable in the recent history.
I mean, because when we look at it, Robert Baratheon, I mean, he was a whore. He had babies right. all over the place. But he had that sneaky fuckface Lannister broad right up underneath him, and she didn't help. Even before then, like, there was always war. There was always people fighting and things like that happening. So why everybody's acting like, you know, like with Daenerys is going to be any different is just strange. But I think she really did pull it into it. Like, look, I come through with Drogon and knock all this shit over.
Right. Because even if she is going to rule seven peaceful kingdoms until the day she dies, nobody is going to respect that. She had to peel some caps back. So when she is sitting on her throne, she can sit there comfortably knowing that somebody's not trying to run up through there and take over every day.
Exactly. Exactly. And so what we see is Tyrion, you know, trying to, you know, orchestrating the escape for Jaime, going to Ser Davos, like, I need a dinghy boat because you're really good at that. and Tyrion is just telling everybody who listen, you know, because he told Jaime, you know, if once you're in the city, ring the bells. And that's the signal that the city surrenders.
Varys got barbecued.
Okay, wait, you're right, because that was tight. That, I mean, okay.
I was terrified when that damn dragon came up out the darkness.
That was so awesome. I honestly, and I thought for a long time, I didn't want Lord Varys to die.
I knew he was going to. He had to, though.
He did. I went back and forth with Lord Varys. Littlefinger was alive, I liked Lord Varys because he seemed to be the counterbalance. Mm-hmm. Like, he was going with the fuckery, but he was going with it, you know, for the realm. I'm going to stay in the loop so that as, you know, this shit shakes out, you know, I'll be in a better position to, you know, shape where things really land and where they need to be. And wherever the power is, that's where I'll be.
That's and just I'm always of, like a messy bitch who knows all the tea.
He was a messy bitch who knew all the tea and had all the Andre Leon Tally robes. It's a lifestyle. Yeah.
Daenerys told him, in fact, if you betray me, I will burn you alive.
She did tell him that. It's absolutely what she told him.
He knew, and I think he thought he could trust Tyrion, which he probably could have, but I don't know what is going on with him trying to save King's Landing and Cersei. Like, after she beheaded Missandei in front of Daenerys' face, why he wanted to save her, I do not know.
Listen, that Cersei should not have done that shit.
That was not okay.
It was not okay. It was not okay. It was not. Not okay.
And for him to think that she was worth saving makes me really question his judgment and kind of want him to get flamed up next week.
He's so little.
But he gonna get flamed up quicker.
True. So when Drogon was looking at Varys like, ooh, yeah, you got my brother killed, you got him popped because he was telling this shit. And I was like, wow. It was a beautiful scene. The cinematography in this episode.
Oh my God. There are so many shots that like just left images that I will never forget. And that's one of them. That dragon come up out the darkness behind her. I'm like, oh my God.
And just bending over her like, I got this, mama. Mm. Like, that was beautiful.
And she didn't even have to holler. She just like, Dracarys.
Dracarys, like, you know what I need now. You know exactly what to do, Drogon. And I thought it was amazing. And so John is watching this and I'm looking at John's facial expressions throughout yes. all of this, because Varys did approach John and was like, you are the true king. And he was like, I don't want it. Right. And he's like, but you know, you'll be a compassionate ruler who will make good decisions and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but I don't want it. It's like, it's not as though stop throwing this shit at this man. Like, Jesus, like John is being sexually harassed by a goddamn throne.
He need to do some reverse psychology on everybody. Like, you know what? Absolutely. Let's go.
It seems like they only turn on you once you do want it.
Right.
As long as you're saying you don't want it, they want you to have it. The more they want you to have it.
I think John was doing his very best to appear supportive, but he was like horrified, I think. Because he knows that he's on her shit list. She knows he lied to her. Like, at any moment, she could have been like, also, Dracarys, this motherfucker right here, too.
Yeah, but she knows she can't kill Jon because there's a lot of allegiance.
Yeah.
Especially using the Northerners in her army. She's got the Unsullied. And she has, it looked like they had some more Dothraki, which right. I'm happy to see. But
the, like the general in the army, so like she needed him for the fight.
She did.
Because the director said that she didn't plan ahead of time to burn up the whole city. So
in her, she did not plan that out.
Yeah. So in her strategic pre-planning, it wouldn't have been like, oh, I won't need John. Let me just trip him right quick and tell everybody he fell into the fire.
Right. And so what we see is her waking up the next day. And getting busy.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, come on. It, like, her best friend, for all intents and purposes, was just beheaded. Both her dragons are dead. Mm-hmm. Sis is distraught.
Just distraught. So, what was it that, and Varys made a point, and it was something, not until I went back and we noticed that they were saying all this stuff, but they were like, you know, a lonely Targaryen is kind of a dangerous thing. And he was saying, when a Targaryen child is born, the world flips a coin. And people just
right. Are they going to be mad or, yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder what it is that makes them mad. Because...
Inbreeding? Certainly what happened with Joffrey and them.
Yeah, poor Joffrey. Joffrey was an inbred ass.
Well, he was the only crazy one. Like, Marcella was just kind of ditzy, and Poe Tommen.
Tommen just don't. Yeah. He got the best of Jaime. That damn Tommen. Joffrey was all Cersei.
All Cersei and that granddaddy Tywin.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder how this would have played out if Tywin was still alive.
Right, double granddaddy. So.
So she attacks Euron's ships and she does a great job of that, just coming straight on. And Drogon is flying so goddamn fast that they, and she learned that they had to be swift in order for them to maneuver, outmaneuver the scorpions, because it takes a lot of effort to not only load them, but then to aim them. And because they're so big, it takes a lot of manpower to do it. And so you can't do it quickly. So once they fired off, they didn't have enough time to, you know, reload in rapid succession. So she was able to burn them and vanquish them pretty easily.
And then she, like, why she didn't do that the first time? She thought about it, but then she was like, okay, no, because if this dragon die, I'm going to die too. So let me just circle back.
And I don't think the first time that she was coming, I don't think they were coming to attack. I think they were coming to first parlay, then attack. Mm-hmm. But they got ambushed. And I think
they were having a joyride. Like, she wanted to see, was Rhaegal healthy enough? They were just flying.
Yeah. You know? And yeah, she got jumped pretty much.
Get jumped.
They jumped her. And so she's like, oh shit, like, you jumped me, you popped my dragon. Like, what's up? Like, it's on now, bitch.
I would have ran too.
Listen, I mean, you could always run and regroup and come back. There's nothing wrong with that, especially if you outnumbered. That ain't no whole shit. You know what I'm saying?
And it was a nice cloudy day, so they couldn't see her really coming.
Mm-hmm. And she got the fuck out of Euron. He won't ready. He won't ready. And then she proceeds to take out the towers. The towers with the other weapons on them, which I thought was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then we see Qyburn like, yes, sweetie. Maybe we should go, you know, down to the picnic, get a drink, and just not be here, because
go watch the TV or something.
Yeah, because Cersei was all like, "All we need is one good shot," and it was like, "Sis, there is no shot to take. Like, it's over. It's really a wrap." Like, very easily, Daenerys, you know, wiped out the defenses and subdued the city. And then when she took out the Golden Army, I thought that was magnificent. I mean, mm-hmm. she busts through, like, fuck all y'all. And we see the head of the Golden Army just like, well, first of all, can I just talk about how when she busts through and the damn horse fainted?
Oof. That horse gave up the ghost.
That horse fell out like,
I wasn't ready.
I was like, what did they do to the horse? Like, that horse just had a heart attack. Like, oh no, oh shit.
And Tyrion and Jon just standing there watching, like, oh, okay, so okay, great. The plan has worked. We're about working. To go on in. Like, they were just having that standoff. It was there were so many moments of stillness and silence in this episode that just raised the tension levels. You just had these two armies staring at each other, waiting for you don't know what to happen.
And the musical score,
man,
just, oh, made it even more intense. Like, that was an intense standoff, because, like, they're standing there, like, they're just standing there, and they're all looking at each other like, yeah, we're about to make this move. It's all about to happen. And the music is just ratcheting and ratcheting and ratcheting. And when she busts through and the horse drops dead, because I'm never going to forget that horse, we see the leader of the gold company running for his life from the Dothraki. And then motherfucking Grey Worm is like, yeah, bitch.
Let's go.
Throws a fucking spear at him, and he picks that bitch up, and then Grey Worm, they get in, and they're facing off with a second set of soldiers. And the way Cersei and them had it up, I mean, technically,
well, they had surrendered. They surrendered. Like, the bells rang.
No, wait, before the bells rang, they were screaming, "Ring the bells!"
Right, because they were like, "We give up. Fuck that. We're done." Like, they done burnt up all our weapons. I don't want to fight no more. And so the soldiers surrendered. So they're just standing there having this little standoff. Like, they put their weapons down finally, and they're like, "Ring these motherfuckers, ring the damn bell." I thought Tyrion was gonna sneak off and ring the bell
himself. Listen, even I was like, "Ring the goddamn bell!" Like, where are the bells?
Well, she's fucking up. There, Arya and the Hound have showed up. Everybody, they're trying to get all the people where, I don't know exactly.
So, okay, so here's the part. Let's backtrack a little bit. Arya and the Hound, they took a different road, and they approached Was that the Lannister army or the gold company? What army was it where
they were like the allied forces?
The allied, okay. They were like, yeah, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm here to kill Queen Cersei. And they're like, and then he's like, think about it. She goes in, she kills her, and you guys, you know, pretty much rest for the rest of the day. Like, you know, do a whole fight. And he's like, well, let me talk to my captain. And then they just waltz right in there.
Which, right, like you do that.
Yeah, which was wild. Low-key, high-key wild to me. But they get in and we see, you know, Daenerys is fucking up, you know, everything. And we see the Hound say to Arya, you know, oh, when they're trying to get through the gates. And then, of course, Jaime doesn't get in the gates because Jaime is literally the stupidest Lannister. So he's got to go the back way. It's, oh, Jesus, Jaime. Like, hide your hand. Put your hand out, hide it. I don't know, Jamie. Just do something. And so the Hound says to Arya, he's like, no, don't follow me. Go somewhere. He's like, Cersei's dead. He's like, if she ain't already dead, he was like, the Dothraki are gonna get her, the dragon's gonna burn her up, but that bitch ain't gonna make it out of here. I gotta go do this. Do not follow me. If you do, you will die. And he sends Arya away. And I was like, you know what, Arya? It is okay if you sit this one out. Because what happened to this episode, this shit turned into an episode of John Wick with dragons. Like, if they just didn't kill Rhaegal, I feel like Daenerys wouldn't have went as ham as she did. But I think killing Rhaegal was like, and Missandei was just all like too much for her. This is John Wick with dragons. That's what I said it was.
Unfortunately, I've never seen the John Wicks. I know a dog is involved.
Honey, my daughter's going to take me to see John Wick for Mother's Day. I cannot wait.
Oh, because the third one's coming out like this week, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is awesome. So, we see Cersei's finally leaving with Meister. What is his name? Shit.
Clyburn, yes,
him. And we see Sir Gregor in the army. And what I thought was really neat was that while the steeple was falling all around them and stuff, Sir Gregor shielded Cersei with his body, and that big old chunk of ceiling fell on him, and he was just like,
I thought he was toast.
He was not. That one soldier got fucked up. But Sir Gregor was like,
he threw himself down as a sacrifice for his queen.
Okay. And then the Hound approaches and he says, Your Majesty. And I really enjoyed this entire scene from beginning.
Like, from here on, I got my life about 37 times. First of all, that was like a dragon flying overhead. While they were on that staircase, like, come on.
And going about the business of just fucking shit up. Gracefully flying through the air. You see the dragon overhead. The ceiling's ripped off. And Cersei's like, Sir Gregor, do not leave my side. And he's like, bitch, this nigga won't defade. Like, he wants that. And sir, you see. And Clyburn's like, get back here, listen to your majesty. And he's like, smoosh. Wash. He smushed the fuck out of him and knocked him out. Man, the back of his head came off.
It was gone.
Like, the entire back of his head. And Cersei really was like, okay, excuse me.
Now, this was my favorite moment of the season. Thus, Sid put up that Kojic finger and ever so politely tiptoed right on by. Like, I'm whatever this is, my name is Bennett.
And I am not in it. Like, I'll leave you to your family.
Me. Excuse me. I don't know where she thought she was gonna go, but she was like, I'm not staying here. That's what I ain't gonna do.
Let me tell you something.
But there was a nice, you know, they have been kind of referring to the mountain as like a Frankenstein monster. And they had a nice little callback to the Dr. Frankenstein and his monster. And he definitely destroyed Qyburn.
He did. And I'm glad you pointed that out, because that was poetic that he did.
Yeah. Just,
And like I said, when he pushed Qyburn and he hit the wall, his head split open. But by the time he hit the bottom of the steps, it was gone. It was just like completely split open and cut off. And it was so amazing. And then the Hound makes light work of the few soldiers left to try to stop him. Easily makes light work out of them. And that's when the Mountain is like, oh, bitch, you really want that smoke? Like, you really want this? And so he's like, well, let's go. He pulls his sword. And he's like, let's go. And these motherfuckers get to wrecking. And
the Hound was talking shit the whole time. I was getting my life.
I was really, the only thing that I didn't like about it was he did not call him a cunt.
Yes. Yeah.
And this was the one time, like, I feel like every 10 seconds, cunt should have been coming out of his mouth. Like, he was like, why won't you fucking die? He should have been like, why won't you just fucking die, you cunt?
Right.
Cunt. If he said cunt, I feel like the Mountain would have died.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just like, oh, yeah, that's you with your ugly ass.
He's like, yeah, let's see that ugly ass face. Yeah, bitch.
Okay, bitch.
And when he shoved that knife all the way through him and he pulled it out of his body and the Hound was at the bottom of the steps because he backhanded the shit out of him. Oh. And he looked up like, this motherfucker, really?
Because he knew he was going to die, but he at least wanted to make sure that he died too, or like first.
He wanted to watch him die before he died. Like, yes. That's all he wanted. Like, I just want to make sure he's dead before I die. However, right. I die.
Right. And he just was like, I cannot believe this bullshit right here. And the way, so like by this time, I didn't think Arya had listened, but she did, like a good little girl. She left.
Yeah.
And then she's out in the city with the little townspeople while Drogon is lighting shit the fuck up.
Yeah. And she is really trying to, I guess, save people.
Or something. I don't know what she thought she was doing. But she ended up getting just clocked so many times. Poping. I'm like, they're not going to kill Arya like this. But there were several times that I really thought that she was a goner.
So what I appreciated was the mesothelioma jokes.
That, listen... That and the Old Town Road jokes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I really want to know what this means for Arya and how this is going to shake out for her. Because one of the things about her purpose was revenge.
Right.
And the Hound pretty much kind of took that from her or absolved.
Right.
From that, in a sense.
And I feel like she finally heard him because he's like, look, this bitch is gonna die. Now, you can go on to your next target, go home, whatever, but I'm telling you, look at me. My whole life has been about revenge. You still have time to not be me, the person running into the fallen down building to go try to kill my brother, who I know is probably gonna kill me. Like, don't do this.
Yeah, so I want to know, while she's going through this, what is going through her mind? Because, apparently Arya was the Hound's tether or some shit.
Right, or that little, like, side-by-side, that was beautiful.
That was very, and it was the scenes, the shots, the explosions, and how the fire really just rushed through the city and caused all that destruction. You see, because I think for Arya, that may have been for her, you know, she took this path for revenge. And I think she's really starting to see now the type of destruction revenge takes, because technically this is Daenerys's revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's all happening. You know, and so as the Hound is getting thrown about, she's getting thrown about. And it was like, you see their parallel. I just thought it was really amazing. Like, I thought that was really good. And then she's, you know, doing something, you know, like, you know, when she was on the road with the Hound, he would never let her do that, which was stop to help other people. Mm-hmm. You know, like helping that mother and the daughter, and she tried to help the daughter, you know, like the mother's like, take my baby, save her. And the daughter's like, no, I'm not going to leave my mom. Of course, both them bitches get burnt the fuck up. Mm. So it's like, you know, these are lessons that Arya's learned, but she's seeing them replayed under the guise of the destruction. And I want to know how this is going to impact her moving forward. What is going to be the end game for Arya now?
Right. Now, well, I guess there is someone left on her list, but it's no one of real consequence. Illyn Payne? Is it Illyn Payne? I was reading some article and they said that it's one of the, I think Illyn Payne was the one who had killed Sirio. But the dude who's left, he's like somewhere off somewhere. And like, it would be really, really stupid for them to have her go chase him. Mm-hmm. But there is but one left.
Mm. And Daenerys was never on her list.
No, Daenerys was not on her list. And if she didn't kill everybody on her list, obviously other people, you know, got away.
Mm. Or she...
Or they, somebody else killed them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Illyn Payne is the only one. He's the person who beheaded Ned.
Mm.
But he live in King's Landing, so he probably got burnt up.
Everybody in King's Landing dead, damn near. Mm. I mean, it got to a point where John had to retreat with the soldiers because, I mean,
his army lost their fucking mind and started raping people.
This is the thing. Like, doesn't matter what's going on, there's always time for rape.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. They raping everybody.
And it's like, my nigga, like, y'all in the middle of war and you have time to rape. Like, Jesus. Right.
A dirtbag never sleeps.
Ever.
They got taken over by that, like, power, and they had that dragon behind them. They was hype.
Did
you see the video when they said she heard the wrong bells and it started playing Look If You Buck?
Let me tell you something. I thought that the bells made her crazy too. She heard those bells, and I think that did piss her off. Like, oh, now you fuckers surrender after you killed Missandei and Rhaegal. Now you want fine. And that's when she said, "Fuck it."
Doom, 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 doom.
Well, I'm a cat, nigga on the train. Tell you something. Come in the club, shaking my dress. One of these muscles.
She really lost her whole ass mind. She was just sitting on that, like the dragon was just sitting. We got so much dragon this episode.
Let me tell you something. We got a lot of dragon this episode. And it was a lot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is moving forward, I have zero idea about what's going to happen next, because we see John, like, when they're faced off with it, and this is the part that I want to know. I felt like Grey Worm easily could have turned around and killed John or fought John in that moment. Like, bitch, either you with us or you're against us. And he's mm-hmm. like, and Grey Worm was like, if the Khaleesi is fucking it up, we gonna fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. Period.
And John was hesitant, but once the dude approached John with sword in hand, that's when John engaged in battle. But you know,
John was reluctantly fighting. No, stab. Stop it. Stab.
I don't want it.
Like, please stop. Cut somebody's head off. Like, he wanted to go home so bad. I think we're gonna have to see Grey Worm next week, like right before he killed Danny. Oop. That's my prediction.
You think Grey Worm is gonna kill Danny?
No, I think John and Grey Worm are gonna fight, and John's gonna have to go through Grey Worm to kill her. You know, because John O. Simp, he gonna do it all lovingly and like choke her. But Grey Worm is with the shit. Danny riding. He stabbed somebody in the back after they already surrendered. He was like, I don't give a fuck.
Grey Worm was activated.
Listen.
He was, I mean, he fucked it up. Like, did you see how much work he put in?
Look. That work. That work.
Oh, man. I just, oh, man. When I think about it, he went through... he went through it just...
He was just, he was killing everybody. He was just killing. Him and Danny had Missande on the brain and they were going to avenge her. I swear, she told them to kill everybody. She could have used her last words in a total other way. She said Dracarys. She meant burnt, burn him up, burn kids. Everybody in here is a hoe. Everybody in here is nasty. These people threw shit at Cersei. They don't give a good goddamn. A grown man doo-dooed in his hand to smear it on her. These are the people that we wanted to protect. The innocence of King's Landing. Bible scourge, burn it down.
First of all, they did shit their own hand to throw it. Spirit
is not matter.
They threw shit at Joffrey. Like, they tried to rape Sansa. They cheered when Ned Stark got his head cut off.
They have been convinced that he was a traitor, so I will give them an asterisk on that one.
I feel like that's still unacceptable.
It really is.
He was the North.
I don't know that everybody in King's Landing deserved to die, certainly, but the Night King was indiscriminate about who he was killing.
Listen, I mean, sometimes motherfuckers gotta fry.
Or ice burn or whatever.
Sometimes you just, listen, niggas get fried every day, B.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry, but we've come too far with Daenerys. Like, I mean, this bitch was in the desert, you know, she got robbed, she had to steal her dragons back. Like, this bitch been through some shit. She's been saying she's not going to be a victim again. And I'm sorry, but I see her getting the throne as she's always wanted, and it playing out where now we're trying to see Jon just keep her off Sansa's ass.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I wonder what Bran is going to make of all this.
Well, you know, he already done seen it. So maybe during the rewatch, he'll have different thoughts.
The second airing, when it airs again.
He needed his ass kicked, too, because you saw this, bruh? You couldn't have gave us a little tip that she's going to lose her fucking mind?
Well, no. Okay, so Bran going back in time, and I think somebody else said it. I'm not quite sure if I've corroborated it or not, but they said Bran may have been the reason why the king went mad in the first place, the same way he did Hodor.
Oh, maybe. I've seen those little theories. Yes, I have seen that.
So I wonder, but with this, with Dany, I don't think she's mad.
Yeah, no, I don't, as in like crazy, a lunatic. No. She got a lot to be mad about though, like angry for sure. But I don't think she's like completely lost her mind or she's going to be like her father. Like, I don't think that at all. Do I think that like a sane, normal person burns up an entire city of people? No, but grief is a motherfucker and it'll change you and it'll make you do things you never thought you would do.
Okay, so in her grief, I feel that, yes, she's lost all of her moral center or compasses. The people who would act as a moral agent that she wholeheartedly would trust are completely gone. And the people who are left, she cannot trust. Tyrion has been fucking up for a minute. Can we talk about this, like, really quickly?
Yeah.
He really thinks he can bargain with Cersei. And the thing is, with him, it's like, yeah, Cersei's evil towards you, but at the end of the day, she's not going to kill you because you are a Lannister. And you act like that mercy extends to other people. And it does not. It doesn't. It does not.
Mm-hmm.
She literally sent Bronn to murder you and Jaime, who Bronn is totally going to come back and murder you, by the way, if he can't convince Daenerys to give him fucking Highgarden, but she's probably not. She probably is like, I'll give it to you once you kill Tyrion, and that's going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't feel like Daenerys is mad.
Yeah.
Even if she was mad, I feel you get the right to be mad. I think she does. But I think she has had it. And I think she's she's taking control, taking the reins of her destiny. She's saying, I will sit on the throne, this is how it's going to be. And if I have to rule by fear, then they will fear me. But no one is ever going to challenge me again and try to take anything away from me. And that is, that's like her word is bond right there. Like, my nigga, like, she meant that shit. She said that shit with her whole ass chest. That's what I get from it. But people are mad. People are upset. And, you know, there are all these think pieces about the gendering of Daenerys, because if she were Jon and he wanted to get revenge, no one would really, you know, say anything to him. I mean, let's not forget Jon hung Ollie and arrested him traitors, motherfuckers.
I really thought for a few seconds that he was going to behead Varys.
Yeah. When he, on the beach, when he said something to him?
No, at the ceremony when he got burnt up. At his execution.
Well, he didn't do him like Mace.
Right.
That was mercy. But with this, but I mean, with Varys, I think he was immediately turned. He was immediately turned to ash.
Mm-hmm.
That dragon literally was like right up on him, so there was nothing left. And then we see the dumbest fight scene, I guess. I don't know why it happened. I have no idea why this sidebar even needed to take place. They totally could have left this out and focused on something else. But Euron and Jaime get to scrapping.
They oh, Euron. Apparently both of those actors are from Denmark. So they were calling it the Dane Bowl on set, and the fight coordinator, they would like start speaking Dutch. Is the, I don't know, chow, Danish to each other, and the fight coordinator would get real nervous, like, what y'all doing? But yeah, I think I'm okay with it. I definitely wouldn't have been mad if they used this time for something else. I don't know what, though. That's what I've been asking people, like, what would you have wanted to see instead of this?
I would have liked to have seen Cersei be ripped apart.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Cersei catch a fade.
Yeah, I'm not mad about how she died. Of course, like, obviously, I hated her. I loved to hate her. She's probably one of my favorite characters, even though I hated her. For a minute, I was like, I want to see this bitch beheaded, like, pull her apart. Just sure she got to die, mercilessly die. And then I just had, like, a human moment where I was like, oh, am I really asking for the pregnant bitch to be, like, killed harder? Like, I just...
At the Red Wedding, they made sure that they ripped out the baby. They ripped out her baby. And the Lannisters sent their regards. Anything can happen.
I'm sure it can. I feel like we saw Cersei be humiliated and defeated and fucking embarrassed and then terrified, and then her and her punk ass brother in that womb looking thing she had to fucking suffocate and die while she was terrified the entire time. And he had convinced her up to the last moment that they was gonna get out. Like, eat it, bitch. I was truly like, you know what? I'm good with this.
You know, it was very poetic that they died the way that they did. They went out me and my bitch style.
And people thought that they didn't deserve to be in the arms of their loved one. But like, I don't know, bro. Like, somebody had to die first, right? So one of them had to watch the other of them die, or they were both killed instantly. They wasn't together for long.
It was the way that, yeah, that's how those two were going to go out.
I mean, I get it. I would have loved to seen her like ate up by the dragon, but she dead. We think.
I would have loved to have seen Daenerys had her tied and shackled the way she had Missandei.
And just like play with her a little bit, yeah.
Let Grey Worm chop her head off.
Yeah, but you know, Dany went nuts. She went buck. She didn't have time for all that. She was like, I'm burning all this shit down.
Yeah, and I really would have liked to have, I mean, because Cersei can't fight. The bitch
at all. You know she can't.
Mm-mm. So I would have liked to have seen maybe her have to tussle with Arya. That would have been
interesting. Yeah. But she just kept getting slapped in the face by circumstance over and over. She's like, the Red Keep will not fall. And Qyburn was like, this shit is coming down, sis. She's like, my armies will fight to the last. Like, well, they are fucking dead and the rest of them surrendered. So like, girl, she just
fight to the last man. They will not surrender. He's like, oh no, honey, they did. They just did that. The bells are ringing. Then she started to cry, and that's when I got pissed off. Wow, you cry, you punk ass bitch. That's how you gonna fucking cry.
I'm like, cry, bitch. Cry, you fucking bitch. Yeah, cry, you feel that?
I did say that. I did make a post on Facebook. Cry, bitch, cry. I did. Mm-hmm. But I was like, now you cry. Now you get it. Now it's all too much for you.
Everybody did. It's her fault. She watched her beloved home of King's Landing be burnt to a crisp. Mm. All that little dragon fire she had stashed was blowing the fuck up. She had to watch herself die for like 45 minutes. And then she finally was like, oh shit. And then she had one moment of hope with seeing her brother and then still died. She thought they were gonna escape.
She did.
And we've already seen this bitch humiliated, like cut her hair, walk her through the street naked. You know, I feel like as much as I hate Cersei, I hated her stupid ass son too. And at the time I was like, oh, choking, that's it. But you think about like what a horrible way that is to die, choking or suffocating or being crushed by rocks. Like, you know, she gone, she dead. See you at the crossroads.
And
but I get it. I of all the gripes, I certainly understand people wanting a different death for Cersei. Absolutely.
Listen, that was really my only complaint was that. So Euron, you know, got fucked up by Jaime, which I was surprised.
I still beat though. Like, are you kidding?
I fucks with Euron. I did.
Me too.
I felt that Euron, if anything, Euron should have fled back to the Iron Isle and got beat by Yara. Mm. That would have been a lot more, that would have helped me process the whole thing. But for him to make that comment afterwards, like, I mean, Jaime fucked him up and he was like, I'm the man who killed Jaime Lannister. And I'm like, I guess he felt like he should go out in a blaze of glory. I'm not quite sure what that was supposed to accomplish.
Well, you know, he's very delusional.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a delusional person to be satisfied in death, in real life you still delusional, you think you actually got Cersei pregnant, haha. You think you're the king. Ha-ha. You think she enjoyed having sex with you, ha ha ha. He really was like, I fuck the queen. Like, okay, bruh. And then he, the coldest line, he told Jamie he was going to cut his head off and bring it to Cersei so she could kiss him one last time. Ooh.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It just, I really would have liked to have seen Cersei terrorized greatly, a little bit more.
Yeah.
Than before she died, her final, before she died, because I don't feel like she was terrified enough.
Oh, that bitch was terrified.
She was, but I wanted her to like
nibbling and shit, like
Sir Gregor, don't leave my side.
No, but then Rock started coming. She was looking at him like, ooh, ooh, ooh. When he ran up on the exit and it was covered, I just laughed so hard. Like, you're done. The only chance they had was to go back the way they came. And then that got closed up.
And yeah, they were trapped. They were completely trapped. And then you see it just coming down. So they were crushed to death, but they died in each other's arms. And sure. That is essentially why Jaime went back to King's Landing. Like, I mean, and he really, so a lot of people were theorizing that he went back to King's Landing to kill Cersei.
I thought that at first I thought for sure that he went back to go be with her because, you know, twincest is the best. And then I rewatched it and I'm like, well, I think he knew Brienne well enough to know that if he told her he was going back to kill Cersei, that she would suit up and come with him. And he cared about her. He didn't want her to do that. So he just lied to her. But no, he ain't lying. He was going back to
his thing. Let's keep it 100. Jamie, even in the books, Jamie has been with no one but Cersei.
Right. Like, and he had ample opportunity for whores and all sorts of things.
Yeah. And he really never fucked nobody but her. And the crazy part is he got a piece of that virgin cooch and was like, I'd rather go back to my sister and inside myself.
Oh, I mean,
poor Brienne, you know, her shit was all
can't match the intimacy of two people who have shared a womb,
not broken even.
They've been in
her house coat.
Like, he had our girl, like that Bernadette, for real, for real, for real.
You are the mother.
Look. Okay. I will run around this house right now. When she breaks up, it is trash. Like, yes! Oh! We had our girl outside in her house coat.
And if there were Newports back then, Brienne would have been outside. She'd have lit that Newport like, where you going, Jamie?
Like,
she'd have lit that bitch. So where you going, Jamie? Exhaling and shit, looking at him like, you going back to your sister?
He's like, she ain't shit. I ain't shit. We love each other. We got 3-4 kids together. Like, that's my sister. I don't know what to tell you.
He was like, I murdered my cousin just to get back to her.
Like, we ain't shit. We share all pretty much the same DNA, except for 2-3 chromosomes difference.
Like, I nut in that bitch.
Like, that's it. Like, we been A1 since day negative 9 months.
Like, so, that's all I know, cuz.
Right. Like, what you expect me to do? And he really thought he was going to save her with that heavy ass hand.
He did all of that just to get caught because he forgot to cover up his gold hand.
Man. And he just walking him. That's the them disguises. Everybody just walking through King's Landing with a hood on. You don't think somebody even recognize the big ass hound? Like, oh, that's Sandor Clegane, girl.
I don't know what to make of any of this shit.
But I guess everybody was running for their lives, so they didn't really care.
Well, they were all trying to get inside the gates, but I guess they quickly learned, like, you've been better off outside them motherfucking gates.
It really wasn't any place that you were better off, unfortunately.
Yeah, man, because I thought Arya was a goner a couple times.
Like, a couple of times.
I was like, sis, you did all that just to come down to King's Landing and die in the rubble. I think the fuck not. I refuse for you to go out like this, Arya. So I want to know what Arya makes of Daenerys now that she's seen firsthand for herself what this is.
And does she... If anybody can respect it, it's Arya.
I feel like she should have an understanding of it and respect it.
Yeah, but because, you know, it's not like, but this is my thing. Not only did Daenerys burn up King's Landing and its citizens, her armies were down there. And she really didn't give a fuck.
She really almost fucked her armies up. Because Grey Worm was down there with no motherfucking helmet on.
Right. John was down there, Tyrion down there, Davos, like all her peoples were down there and she knew that.
And she just, and they, I mean, it just came to a point where they were like, run for your lives, like retreat, like fall back.
Mm-hmm.
Retreat. And it was like, wow, now y'all retreat and fall back?
Like.
Y'all should have been let her wreck shop like she was going to. And then, you know, whatever. But I mean... girl, like it was a lot. It was destruction on a thousand. This was more destructive than the Titanic, the Poseidon Adventure, and Volcano the movie. Like, it was just a lot of destruction. And you know what I think may happen? She just may enslave those people and force them to rebuild the city.
Look. It's not like she's shy about slaves.
That's sad. It's poor baby. Poor baby. Poor baby.
No, I don't fuck with her the long way, but you know, respect due. She did go out there and do what she felt like she had to do. Do I agree with it? No. But ain't nobody trying to bow to the Queen of Mercy.
I mean, look, it's going to go this way. When she has to deal with the rest of these motherfucking niggas.
Look.
Ain't going to be no back talk. Ain't going to be no lip.
None.
It just ain't going to happen. And do you think she would have did that? Had Jorah lived, do you think she would have done that?
Not if also Miss Sandy died.
And Varys was trying to poison her. What if they continue the poison plot?
Well, because the little girl, we saw her in King's Landing for what reason? I do not know. But if she makes it back... she can still run. She saw the destruction. Ooh, if that little girl is the one who ends up killing Daenerys, the internet's gonna burn down to the ground.
Let me tell you something. If Kennard could be the one to kill okay, if we had to go through that shit. I
hate that kid.
I still hate Kennard to this day. Kennard. I will run up on Kennard if fuck Kennard up.
Look, this little badass kid.
This damn, I mean, Kennard.
You never know. She still has the poison because Daenerys wasn't eating. And at first I thought she wasn't eating for like grief, but then I'm like, this bitch probably was like, eh. Oh no.
She, why she wasn't eating. don't know. Maybe the soldiers did tip her off.
Or she put it all together. Like, we were ambushed. Somebody told them where we were. I know niggas is talking behind my back. You just gave me the details on Varys. How many of them she knew or did not know ahead of time? We don't know. But I feel like if she knew, she would have pulled out one of the little notes like, got your text, bitch. But she knows him. She knows if he knows, hella other people know at this point. Just like she told John, stupid ass, what happened. I told your stupid ass this is what was going to happen. And what did your dumb ass go and do, old goofy ass?
I told you. This is exactly what I said was going to happen. And look at, because Jon Snow, you know nothing.
Nothing. He agreed like, told us that.
What also, too, if he didn't tell her that she was his aunt and they just fucked and that's why I've been avoiding you and you're about to be heartbroken again. Would she be going through this either? It never really was going to be a really good time to tell her this shit.
The person he should not have told was her.
So he should have told Sansa anyway.
I definitely think he should have told his family, but he shouldn't have told her. What did he think? Like, what did he think she was going to say? Because I, as an audience member, am still horrified by the fact that she hasn't even given an eye that that's her nephew. And everybody's like, well, that's popular with the Targaryens. I don't think with her, was her and her brother messing around like that?
I think her brother did molest her.
Yeah.
I think he was fucking her growing up, doing shit to her. Because one time he was touching her titty. And I was like,
yes. Hey. Yes. And she was supposed to be like 12 in the books.
Right. It was gross. Very gross. I think he did do a lot of inappropriate shit to her. But I was watching a fan video and they were talking about the history of the Targaryens. And I think it was Rhaegon. Yeah, because Jon's name is Aegon. But this was Rhaegon, the very first Targaryen, because it was they were in Valyria, old Valyria, before the Valyrian doom when Valyria exploded. Burned. And they started the first march towards Westeros to claim the Seven Kingdoms. Rhaegon married his oldest sister, which he did out of a sense of duty, but then he married his youngest sister for love.
He was like in love with her.
Right. So he had two wives, both of them his sisters. And that is like their thing.
Yeah. So for her to not bat an eyelash to find out that she had fallen in love with her cousin, though, to me is still very suspect.
Like, not her cousin, her whole ass.
Her nephew, which makes me want to vomit because I have three of the bitches. And like, you know, I for a time was super fascinated with people who like were in love with their siblings. But most of those people were in a situation where they fell in love first and then found out that they were brother and sister. It's very rare that
they stay together.
The same house are like that Cersei and Jamie shit. Like that's uncommon.
Yeah, that's some old Maury shit. Like when it pops off like that, that's when it's like, okay, like look, we ain't grew up under the same roof, like we not. And honestly, let's keep it a buck. It does make a difference when you grow up together.
Yeah, that's nasty. That's disgusting.
Absolutely gross.
But they say, I forget what the name of the phenomenon is, but it's people who have an intense attraction to each other because they are actually related, but they don't know when they meet.
Hold on. And they think the attraction is love, but it's just familiarity.
And then they find out that they're like brother and sister.
Okay, hold on. What is it called?
When siblings fall in love or something. And so, or like mother and son. It just, they have a name for it.
Oh God, my Google search is going to look crazy.
Right. My shit is connected to work. I'm scared to.
I know. I just to set up so many different accounts because I was totally watching porn, and I went and looked through my history at my work laptop and was like, oh, bitch.
Yeah, like, you got to go incognito when you're doing certain searches.
Lynn, you do got to go incognito. You're like, that incognito window seen a lot of shit.
Yes, yes, yes. It's called the Westermark effect.
Oh, okay, hold on. Let me look this up. The Westermark effect. Oh my God. Or reverse sexual imprinting is a hypothetical psychological effect through which people who live in a close domestic proximity during the first few years of their lives become desensitized to sexual attraction.
So the reason why you aren't attracted sexually to your brothers and sister is because you live with them. And for people who don't grow up together, you don't get this.
Right. Oh, man. So,
like, you have like a strong sexual aversion to your siblings. Yeah. And so then it's the other one is genetic attraction syndrome.
Okay, let me look that one up. Genetic, hold on. Oh my God, I have to know more about
this. Or genetic sexual attraction.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Let's find the definition for it. I found a wiki. What's on Reddit? Of course it's on Reddit.
Can I send a link in this chat here?
Yeah.
I have found a Wikipedia here.
Girl, we are.
I don't want to share a file. I just want to chiz at. Here we go.
All right, you see the chat?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so this lady says she was adopted as, wait, this person says, I was adopted as an infant. My biological mother was a teenager and did not have the means nor support to raise me. My adoptive parents had her name from some paperwork that had come from the hospital. I grew up knowing that I was adopted. However, it was always really difficult for me. I always felt out of place and I always wondered who my biological parents were. It was almost like a countdown for me that once I was old enough, I could search for them and finally know where I came from. These feelings only intensified for me after my parents parted ways. My parents did their best and I loved them, but I just could never stop wondering who my biological parents were. When I was finally old enough, I started searching for my biological mother since I had her name. It was difficult as it had been so long and I knew it was very possible that she had been married and no longer had the same last name. Through much searching, I did eventually find her. I was elated, especially because she actually wanted to take the time to get to know me. Eventually, the topic of my biological father came up. I'd grown up with the understanding that my biological mother probably did not know who the father was simply because she was a teenager at the time, etc. I always thought I might find her, but never in a million years thought I would find him. Eventually, I would also make contact with him, and this is where the whole story takes off. Oh God, buckle up. When I first saw his photos and read what he had to say, I put the feelings off as just being mere excitement. He is a very handsome person and extremely well spoken. We hit it off immediately, even without any contact or knowledge of each other for 2 decades. We had nearly identical senses of humor, similar interests, tastes, and music. I could go on and on. We would stay up.
Wait, she met him knowing that was her damn daddy?
Sis.
That's trifling.
Sis! All night, talking on the phone or chatting on IM. I was living with my boyfriend at the time, and my biological father had been married for almost 20 years at this point. My boyfriend became very jealous even early on, and so did his wife, as we were just pouring tons of information into each other. We met, and that only made things more intense. We spent the entire first visit attached at the hip. I felt happier than I had ever had in my entire life, and he told me how I had opened a part of his heart that he never knew existed. He does not have any other children. By the second visit, after a month or so after the first, things took a turn and got out of control.
No!
Bitch. It is extremely nerve-wracking to talk about this. You think? and I were talking at night in the dark. I don't know what I was thinking, but as we were talking, I just instinctively leaned over and kissed him.
No.
And it didn't stop. It's just at just kissing. At
that's that a baby.
We put ourselves into a very complicated and difficult situation that would unfold over many years. I moved closer to him and we continued this secret relationship over the course of several years. But it was extremely hard. I was basically the other woman in his life at this time. We had to pretend to those around us that nothing was going on, although a lot of people suspected, as we did in typical father-daughter fashion. We spent as much time as we could together. We were very affectionate with each other. There was also plenty of stress coming from his family and from his wife. The two of them fought all the time about me. His wife wanted him to have nothing to do with me. I think deep down she knew what was going on, but it was presented to his family as though I was just a bad person and making his life stressful. A lot of really painful things happened during this time because even though he and I was involved, I was still his daughter, and part of me was very hurt to be rejected by his family like that. It's really tough to explain the conflict of emotions there. I wanted to be with him. I wanted them to be gone, but at the same time, the child in me wanted to have that picture perfect reunion in life following the reunion that I always wanted.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so it gets, there's more.
Of course.
After some years, he and his wife eventually divorced.
Well,
he moved in with me. This was also not without complication, as I don't think it would be possible to go through this sort of thing without carrying a very heavy burden. Both of us felt an immense amount of guilt for what went down. We did not cope well with it for some time. I tried to help, but I did not know how. We fought all the time. Again, a lot of conflicting emotions. I felt terrible for what happened to their marriage, but at the same time, I wanted her out of the picture because I was in love with him in a way that I had never felt, in that I don't believe I ever will feel again. I wanted this picture perfect life. Somehow we survived the entire ordeal.
Mm-mm.
We still live together.
Mm-mm.
We meet people now. We portray each other as boyfriend, girlfriend. Sometimes I forget that we are related because a lot of times has passed since the above events happened. We both have good jobs. We both are very committed to each other. And in a weird way, we are closer than we were even at the beginning. Although I do long for those days sometimes, and it was more before things got too real. We love each other very intensely, and I can't imagine ever being with anyone else. I guess that's the gist of a very long story. If you can find it, edit. There's an edit.
I watched this documentary where there was this brother and sister who he kept going to jail behind them keeping having kids together.
Oh my God.
Because it would be like stuff like seriously wrong with the children. And I do believe these two grew up together. But there's a whole like, girl, I started seeing these documentaries. I became obsessed with this stuff. So there's just like whole communities of people who want to be able to live in peace in incestual relationships. And so, and most of them are like, look, we can't have children. Like one or both of us has been sterilized or what have you. We're grown, we're consenting adults. Just let us live in peace as brother and sister, as partners. But it's, you know, like illegal in every state. America and in most other countries, but they're like, you know, we just, nobody's being abused, nobody's hurting anybody, just let us be in love. And there were situations where it, most of them were, I was dating this man, we had this instant connection, it was the craziest thing I'd ever experienced in my entire life, and this way, that way, one couple, they were getting married and they were in some country where you had to still have a blood test in order to get married, and the blood test was like, girl, y'all are brother and sister.
Ah, this is why, you know, we be telling niggas, you got to raise your kids.
Right? But then what
you got to be in your lives because
what do you do? You're in love. You're about to get married. So, you know, I think it's because I would say intellectually, like, immediately the relationship is over, but like the love of your life, you're about to get married.
And then that doesn't just go away. Those feelings,
right,
doesn't just go away, unfortunately.
Right.
That's going to have to be worked out.
Some kind of way.
I legit would... I would need therapy.
Or you know it's your brother. Y'all just found each other after years of either not knowing you had a sibling or knowing and just not knowing who they were. Y'all meet, the connection is crazy, mad crazy, and you fall in love. Your literal other half, the male version of you, the other you, if you're a same-sex attracted person, who is you, basically, in another body. And y'all just fall in love. I don't know what I would do. Now, Jamie and Cersei, they just nasty.
Jamie and Cersei are nasty. And I wonder where that came from, where they had to be together. Like, how did that start?
It probably was just nasty. You know, two egotistical little children who were in love with their own reflection. And it happened to be another person that looked just like them.
So this the thing called kin recognition, also called kin detection, is an organism's ability to distinguish between close genetic kin and non-kin. In evolutionary biology and psychology, such an ability is presumed to have evolved for inbreeding avoidance.
My country aunts would say blood draws blood is the phrase that I heard. I had met one of my little cousins for the very first time, and I was like a teenager or 20, and she was 5 or 6, and she was just so attached to me. And that's what they were saying. They're like, blood draw blood. Like, she know you family.
That's just no different than niggas staring at bitches' faces at the goddamn family reunion. Like, calm the fuck down.
Like, if you ask me another time who I'm related to, we're gonna have an issue.
It's so like, and that shit happens.
Or you get drunk and all the other men have to remind you that I'm your cousin. Like, sir.
Gross. And listen, I don't give a fuck if you were my grandma's cousin's nephew. We related, motherfucker. Okay. We
were. I had to get my good scientist friend to map it out for me because you know, they're like, don't mess with your cousins. I have a very big family. I'm like, okay, he like my third, fourth cousin. Like, what's the tea? What is the worst that could happen? And apparently your children are not in any genetic danger unless you are double cousins, which means you share all four grandparents, I guess, in like a twin situation. It happens quite often. Because it's like, but again, the difference between a cousin that you met for the first time when you were 17 versus the cousin that you had spent a night with your whole life.
Right.
And he's like my mama's cousin's cousin. Like, you know, I never went there, but I definitely had a scientist friend tell me that I wasn't being nasty for thinking my cousin's cousin's cousin was cute.
I mean, look, you can look at a motherfucker and say, oh, they're cute. You can. But that's just the beginning and the end of it. I see you. Right. You're cute. Moving along.
And the family separating us like, y'all cousins now.
See, that's the part right there. Because you know, it's always that one cousin. You don't want that bitch in your business.
Right. But no, I don't mess with my cousins. Like, do not. I think it's fascinating how these sorts of things happen and how genetics, God, science, evolution, whatever, has set us up so that we don't fall in love with our siblings or fathers or mothers or what have you.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something.
Because my brother is nasty to me. And like every time Reggie says that my brother is cute, I'm like, ugh. Like, obviously, I can acknowledge that my brother is a good-looking man, but when people want to do, like, sex things to him, like, that's nasty.
That's, don't tell me that.
Right, I want to know that.
I know. I mean, I guess that's how my sister feels, because, you know, I'm the attractive one, so.
No! Yes! I'm so glad that my brother and I are of different genders.
Honey.
I know he liked to think he's the attractive one. However. So are you guys close in age?
We're 18 months apart.
Oh, that had to be rough.
It was. She's a Gemini. She's a total asshole.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Not too much. It's almost our turn.
You're a Gemini too?
Sure am. First day.
You know what? Gemini. Why is it everything that I love to slander? You are a part of the fandom. What is that? What is that? I can't slander the West Coast.
Nope.
I can't slander Geminis.
Not.
It's complicated being your friend.
Because the Lord has placed me into your life. So that you may learn that all things have an opportunity to be lovely. So them Gemini, I don't know who hurt you. I don't know who he was. Wherever his birthday is in June, I'm sure of it.
Actually, keep it a buck. I've never dated a Gemini.
My Gemini
purely comes from having a sister and a baby cousin who are Geminis and them being utter
We all not like that.
Apparently.
My lives matter. We are so lovely people.
Are you a May Gemini or a June Gemini?
I am a May Gemini. I'm a 0 degree Gemini. My birthday is May 21st, the very first day of Gemini. I was born, the time that I was born in my birth placement makes me a 0 degree Gemini. I used to think that I used to claim Taurus Gemini cusp. But I had a chart done and she was like, nope, you are at the very first moment available to be Gemini. That is you.
But it's got to be because you're so close to Taurus.
I don't really fuck with them as a record label. Like some of my closest friends are Taurus, most specifically they're men. And we get along like motherfucking this dragon and Cersei. Like I do not get along
with Taurus men. My baby daddy is a Taurus.
We fight, but it's all love underneath that because they're very slow and it takes them a very long time to do anything, including trust you. But like once they trust you, that's it. And that's all. But it takes forever to get to that place with them. And I think that they're attracted to us because we're very like go with the flow and exciting and fun. But they just eventually they move too slow for us. So it's romantically, it has never worked out with me and a Taurus. But I keep having Taurus men in my life and they end up becoming really good friends.
No, I don't do most people on that side of the zodiac. I mean, okay, so here's the thing. As a Sagittarius.
I don't see why you have beef with this. My best friend is a Sagittarius and she, I'm sure, was so tired of my funky ass for several years in our friendship. But eventually, I calmed the fuck down and became like a reasonable, sensible person.
Let me tell you something. It is so like, Sagittarius, we don't like anybody. Like low key. We don't. But
my best friend don't like no fucking body. Like we met on some beef because we had a together and she didn't used to come to class that much. And one day she came to class and had plucked off all her eyebrows. And we did not speak. We weren't cool like that. And I walked up to her. I was like, what the fuck did you do to your eyebrows? And she was like, what do you?
Listen, you're not going to talk to us about our mistakes, right. Even if they're clearly on our face. You're not going to do that. No, let me tell you something. I It's different being a Sag. It is very different. We like what we like when we like it. You know, we just have our moments. But
y'all are very loyal. Y'all are so fucking loyal. And like, when you ride for people, you ride till the motherfucking wheels fall off.
I do. Listen, and that loyalty is one of the traits. It's hard being a Sag because people know we're loyal. Mm-hmm. And it seems like they do fuck shit because it's like, oh, well, I'm going to come back. You know, I'm going to come back and, you know, you're going to forgive me and I'll be forgiven. And 9 times out of 10, I probably will be over it. But goddamn, like, you know, I had to become a petty Sag.
Right. I've been a petty Gemini before. I don't enjoy that.
Oh man, y'all Gemini, I swear y'all are like, it is two different people.
It's completely two different. And you don't know who you're gonna get. I don't know who you're gonna get.
Then growing up with someone going through puberty, ooh, and being a Gemini, wow. No, fuck, thank you. No ma'am. No ma'am. No ma'am.
We are a delightful, wonderful people. We are so loving. We're fun. We're intelligent. We enjoy the best out of life. It's just, I don't know why Gemini gets such a bad rap. And then I see all these people who hate on Gemini, but then like all the people y'all like are Gemini.
But you know what? The funny part, I do have friends who are Geminis. I do. Yeah. And Tauruses. And we get along just fine. It really is just her.
I don't think it's the sign. I think it's the person. Like,
I think so.
Because you can fall to those tendencies or whatever. My moon is in Scorpio, so I'm just like awful, supposedly, on paper.
What?
But you met me. I'm a lovely person.
You're wonderful. Listen, Nick, we get along fine. So right. Here's the thing. You know, like, all of my signs are in Sagittarius, with my last one rising is in like Capricorn.
Okay.
So, like, yeah, I'm like a true Sag with a sprinkle of Capricorn.
I'm a double Gemini. My Venus is in Gemini. My moon is in Scorpio. And my rising is Pisces? I believe. Let me look.
What? Oh, girl. Oh, Lord. Like,
it's either Pisces or Aries. Let me double check.
Okay. You know, I don't have a problem with Pisces on paper. It depends on what kind of Pisces you are, though.
I find that I don't know very many Pisces. I know one Pisces. I know a few Libras. Reggie is an old emotional Cancer.
My mama was a Cancer. And
mama's a Virgo.
I'm not going to go there with the Virgos. I'm going to keep my mouth
shut. Let me tell you, my mama born the same day as Beyonce. Do you think I know Petty?
She is a superstar.
You think I know Petty, honey?
You know, Virgos are a little petty. They can be. And I really peeped it and I just was like, like, you better use your words with me, little bitch. Like, no. Not saying that about your mama, no.
But, no, she's petty. It's fine. She's also a lovely person. So I think it's just the person. My rising is Pisces.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like, I'm learning because like I stopped doing Libras a long time ago.
I just have recently met Libras. I enjoy them.
Libra men are not fun to date. I can fuck them, but I cannot date them and be with them. They are dead.
It's been kind of all over the place for me, honestly. My first serious live-in boyfriend was Pisces. And then my next one was, I don't even know, fucking, I don't know, he did. I don't even remember when his dog ass was.
He did. Let's group it. Okay.
I think he might have also been a Pisces. I don't remember. So I don't really log them. I just ask people when I meet them so I know who I'm encountering, but like, I don't feel like there's a bad sign in the zodiac. There's nobody that I can't figure out how to get along with. I just want to know what I'm up against.
You know, I honestly, being a Sag is hard because that whole need for freedom is real and it doesn't go away.
People say that about us, and I don't have that. Like, I would love to be tied down.
I don't mind being tied down as long as when I'm ready to go do my thing, I could go do my thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very, but you know, like for me, I love to run the streets and do stuff. But I don't know how we got here from King's Landing and incest.
Right.
And,
right.
But here we are. So yeah. All I know is I'm going to need someone who, like, someone's really going to let me be me. And it's like, I'm on both sides of the spectrum. I can be an introvert and an extrovert. I can be clingy and I can be distant. I could be mushy and I could be mean. You're just going to have to take my in between, me as I am. You know what I mean? But yeah, like, I just want to stop being so fucking loyal. I do.
My loyalty has been to my downfall a couple of times, but I feel like in the Jon Snowest of ways, if I went down for being a loyal nigga, then that's how I went down.
Well, my thing more along the lines of is sometimes my loyalty gets in the way of me being a proper hoe. and I mean, because like the older I get, no, seriously, like I can't. There was a time in my life, I run through them. Crew, squads, whatever. It was what it was, honey. But now I'm just like, you know, I need to bust all my nuts one by one. I don't need multiple dicks. But that's the fucked up part. Like, as a woman, it becomes very obvious. You do need different niggas for different things. Like, you need a nigga that's gonna throw you up against the wall and fuck you. You need a nigga that's gonna fix your car. You need a nigga that's gonna buy you something to eat. You need a nigga that's gonna give you money. You need a nigga that's gonna, you know, take you.
What is it like?
Don't have the interest, the time, or just. I just don't have the desire anymore. Like, it's hard to explain. If I could just find one nigga with 80% of what I need, I'll never leave my house again. I'll be fine. Listen,
I read this book. This ain't got nothing to do with Game of Thrones, but this is a great conversation. Amazing. I read this book, and the title was quite offensive. It was called Marry Him, The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough.
And Jesus! It's like, that's what I don't want to do, but it's like, you just might. Right. I mean.
And the girl who says it to me, I was kind of offended. I was like, what the fuck is this? But then I read the book, and a lot of it was bullshit. But one thing that stuck with me is that she said, and I don't believe in this rating shit, this like 1 to 10 shit, but she said, all 8s eventually become 6s. So it would behoove you to find a really great 6 and figure that shit out.
You know what? I get what she's saying. And that's kind of like the way it is. Like, it's like when they tell you like lower your standards, like here's what they really mean. Like, don't lower your standards where if you require a nigga to take you out and to feed you before he fuck you, that's your motherfucking standard. Don't flinch on that. But you will have to compromise, you know, especially as you get older. Like, the nigga just may have a belly. He may be losing his hairline. You know,
and her, like, she had this dating coach and she was signing up for the apps and whatnot. And there was a guy on the apps and he wore a bow tie in his profile picture and she swiped him. And the dating coach was like, look at his profile, though. Like, he's a great guy.
You can trust him in a bow tie.
Right. And so then she found out on a date with him that the reason why he wears bow ties is because his grandfather was his idol growing up. And when his grandfather died, he left him his bow tie collection. Come on.
I mean, yeah, that's cute and all, but a great in a bow tie. I don't trust your ass in a bow tie, though.
He probably looked dapper in that little bow tie.
See, if you had an ascot.
See, I would think the ascot is more corny than a bow tie.
Well, you know, that's because Roland Martin wears an ascot.
Yes.
But you can't trust a nigga in a bow tie. I stand by that. Like, if you approach me with a bow tie, you better have all the game, hunty, all the motherfucking game.
Right. I don't know. I think as far as the men people go, I just kind of want to be left alone right now.
I just want to get some dick.
I mean, like, for that, they have to be around you, so.
Like, and I'm starting to require more conversation now, and I got to kind of get to know you a little bit, and I got to see something so that I can be attracted to it to even get myself ginned up to do it.
Like, I just don't want to be bothered. It's going to be disappointing. I'm probably going to end up not liking each other, or if we do, just something's going to be just draining and exhausting, and the chances that it will be good and for how long just don't outweigh my desire to really just be left alone right now. But it's summer, skies out, thighs out. I'm trying to like thought it up for the warm weather season, but I just really want to be left alone. Like, I kind of met this guy and just like the fizz fade came in just record time this time. I just was so over it before I even had a chance to start.
You know, oh my God. I'm really trying. I'm doing a lot of things differently that I would not normally do. I'm doing a lot more conversation, a lot more talking now before I engage.
I'm just not even meeting men anymore, which
I just find that I'm doing a lot of talking. There's a lot of conversation and things like that. But what I find is that a lot of these, and you have to do it, because these niggas will try to sell, they're selling themselves. They really are. But it isn't until you really get in that position where the rubber meets the road, where it's like, oh, but you said, and that's when you start to see like, oh, that's not what it's not like that. It's not what it's about. It's not it.
I used to complain that I didn't like get hollered at in public, and I've never like dated multiple men. And for the most part, I feel completely invisible when I leave my house. It's only been since last September that men even like speak to me in public. And I used to feel like a way about that, but now
but you're cute as a button. What?
I don't, girl, help me understand. Because I think I'm cute too.
Honestly, I get hollered at now, but I'm also wearing a weave. So I just want to say that.
Is it the hair?
You niggas been seen. Let me tell you something. I went to the Old Head Club a few weeks ago.
Now, this is where I think I would do quite well. Let me tell you something.
You need to come with me. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're going to go. I'm about to text you right now so you can see the type of action I was getting. So
bet. Because I've always been very popular with the older crowd. Like, my daddy's friends, when I became a woman, were like, oh.
Let me tell you something. Old men, this weave is catnip to these motherfuckers. Let me tell you something. They
if it were wasn't on for me. Homeless men and old men, I would never get hollered at.
Let me tell you something.
They don't be the right old. Like, you either have to be like still attractive and kind of active, or like about to die so you can leave me all your money.
Let me tell you something.
But like 58, I don't know.
These men, they be on me.
I have to go see, because I'm interested to see how I do with the old heads of the DMV area.
Oh, I got the perfect place for you to go. You still owe me a date to the go-go anyway.
I do.
We definitely want to, we're going to run these streets, honey. I'm telling you now, we're definitely going to run these streets. But I just sent you a little piece of work over there. So you see, I want to tell you, when I went up in that club, they had a table and a tab, and I had all my drinks paid for. I ain't paid for nothing, and I walked the fuck up out that bitch.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, the one on the right. Come on, sir.
I know. It wasn't ugly either. And they were from down south, too, so they was just up for the evening, having a good time, looking for a lovely lady to spend all their change on, and I properly spent that. I did.
I'm going to see, do they have a web page?
Yes, you need to come with me on a Friday night, sweetness. Oh. That is where we're going to go. We're going to get all the drinks, and we're going to get some chicken, and we're going to get some wingettes. That's good enough. Get some wingettes and shit.
Yes. Okay, I have like 10 minutes before the get down goes down. Do we have more Game of Thrones related things to say?
I think we kind of discussed it all because I'm honestly, okay, so I'm no longer trying to predict what's going to happen. I am genuinely right. going with the flow, taking it as it comes, see what happens.
That's real. Because whatever they give us, not everyone's going to be happy. Nobody's going to be excited. It's just, I kind of want them to piss everybody off and just watch the whole internet burn. That would be my pleasure. But I also would enjoy a really good episode.
At this point, I feel like they cannot end as bad as Dexter did. And that's...
I didn't watch Dexter, thank God. But I know people hated that shit.
I'm still angry with Dexter.
And that or The Sopranos is my reference point.
I didn't mind the Sopranos ending. I think it ended, it made sense when, you know, Tony's dead. He got shot in the back of his head in front of his family. It all makes sense. Tony's not here. But Dexter, fuck Dexter. That bitch owes me time. I want my shit back, motherfucker. Like, I want my time back, motherfucker. I want it all back. I do. I appreciated that supercut. Surprise, motherfucker. Like, I did, but I want my time back. I'm sorry. I want it all back. And I will not settle. So, having said that, yes, you must get in. Is this the game where Steph is going to play his brother and they're going to play the two brothers face each other in an NBA playoff for the first time?
The Clegane Bowl, you know.
The Curry Bowl. Mm-hmm. The battle of the, I can't make any light skin jokes. Can I make light skin jokes with you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I identify as brown.
Okay. Now, listen. Hey, I didn't know if you were going to stop me because it was like we slandered.
No. I don't blame this. All right.
We slandered.
They have it coming.
Listen, because Steph Curry is like pale for me. And
he is yellow.
He is yellow. He high yellow.
High yellow. And he has two black parents. Clay, he a little beige because his mama is white.
Mm-hmm. But Steph's mom, she's like your complexion.
I feel like Sonya Curry's a touch lighter than I am. Like she might could have been borderline white passing back in the day. She did not. She refused to. But I think she's more like Giselle and Robin than me.
Okay.
But I also refuse to call myself light skin. It's just a thing. Like, I didn't know I was light skinned until Twitter. And in my defense, I was a much darker child. But I think it might be regional, but where I'm from, people don't really refer to me as light skinned. And I realize I've gotten a lot lighter over the years, but like, it still baffles me when people are like light skinned and they are talking about me. Cause I grew up around some like really light skinned people. So,
yeah, cause you grew up around Creole folk, right?
Right.
See, me growing up, I considered myself dark skinned, but apparently I'm brown.
Right. And but so
I consider because growing up, I was darker than a brown paper bag. So I was dark.
Which is why I could understand why you would call me light-skinned if you think you're dark-skinned.
Right. Like, you're lighter than me, but you're not light-skinned, no. You are like a soft caramel.
Yeah, thank you. That's where I think I sit.
No, you're light brown.
Yeah.
You're light brown. Me, I still consider myself dark skinned because I don't find the term offensive. And I think
it's right. Bad. I don't either. I would say that you were brown skinned though, but not because I think it's bad to be dark skinned.
But technically I am brown. Yeah. I'm brown. Yeah, I'm very brown. And in the summertime I get a little darker, but I don't mind.
Yeah, I love when I get dark in the summertime. I love it. I'm always like trying to wear my makeup a little bit too dark. Like, I don't know if I want to be light-skinned.
Mm-mm. Let me tell you something. Being light-skinned is a burden.
Look, it's just vexation to my spirit.
Heavy vexation, okay?
This little sun needs to hurry up and come on out so I can get my bronze shoulders on.
I'm going to Hawaii this summer, and I'm black.
What island are you going to?
Honolulu,
okay.
I believe.
I've only ever been to Maui.
I want to go to Maui because I want to smoke some Maui Wowie in Maui.
But... I don't know. Did I smoke weed when I was in Maui? I don't recall. But the people all were very nice. There's a lot of transplants in Maui. It's kind of a mixture between the two. Like, it's not super city like Honolulu, but it's not super jungle like Oahu. It's, you get a little of both.
Okay. Because see, I'm going to look at the scenery and eat fruit.
Yeah.
And just soak it all in. I'm not a big water person. I don't like the ocean. I don't like anything that big and grandiose.
Yeah.
As big as the ocean. So I have reason to fear it. But I want to be by the water, the scenery. I just want to go and explore. But I definitely want to eat.
Yeah. And the people are lovely. Like, seriously, some of the nicest people I've ever met, like, on Earth were in Hawaii.
I'm really excited to do this. So I'm looking forward to how I tan and how that comes out. Getting my weave all picked out and everything. So when I get in there, they're going to get all of this silky hair. Honey, I'm going to see if I can pull me a Hawaiian nigga. See how that goes. Honey, if I get me some surfer dick.
You better bring me back a swelu.
Let me tell you something. I don't mind. Over double. So on that note, honey, now that we done talked about
everything under the sun.
And we finished with a good busted wide open conversation.
As you do.
Tell everybody where they can find you, hunty.
Yes, I am on the Twitter machine at Nick Jew, NICJU. Our podcast is What's the TTEA. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and check us out.
Yes, and tell R to the edgy that I said hello. And
I will.
He is ab fab to me. So he is also welcome. Anytime, both of you must come back, and that
will do. I didn't even know the Nick was watching Game of Thrones till today. I almost actually on, yeah.
Oh my god, listen, I want to do a musical episode with you guys. I want to do a musical episode with you guys. Next time you guys are singing, call me because I want to come sing. I want to do my own musical.
Well, good luck catching us both at the same time because we could barely get our motherfucking show out every week.
Oh my god.
That's why we don't have guests anymore, because it's like 10 minutes before, like, can you go in 10? Like, I guess.
Oh, my God. I'm going to do something. I'm going to figure out how to do it, but I'm going to get you both here, and we're gonna sing. It's going to be wonderful. Yeah. But you can find me, or whatever, at cook_Simmons on your local Instagram. Occasionally, you can find me at Twitter at... The Cook and Gooch. And you can also, you know, always find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. The group has gone back underground, but we still out here, whatever. Just doing our thing. After the Game of Thrones recap, we're going to have fresh new episodes for you all. So get ready for that. A lot of exciting things coming on the horizon. So thank you, Nick, for coming. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. And we are going to get together. We're going to do our cocktail hour. We're going to go check out some old men or whatever and see if we can scoop these sugar daddies and get you sugared out here in these streets. And it's going to be a blast. But I have availability all summer long, like, to do ho shit and hood rat things with my friends.
Unfortunately, so. I don't, but we'll figure something out.
You're always busy, but I accept you for who you are, because at some point we will do this. And I know we did 6 months ago, but we're still going to do this. Don't worry about it.
Yes.
It's all happening. So thank you. Good luck to your team and all.
Thank you.
I will be catching the highlight reel because I'm about to go in here. And Queen of the South is now on Netflix. I'm about to go watch season 2 again because that's my shit.
Hey, yes, I will be in here torturing myself past my bedtime with basketballs.
Girl, balls are fun. Ball is life.
Penis in the sky.
Penis in the sky. Yes! Yes, honey. We need to do that again.
Yes.
So I'll holler back, but you take care, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Peace.